This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who follow his guidance and who follow his way until the last day. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today inshallah ta'ala, our presentation, our lecture is entitled Iman Boosters Beyond Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, a few weeks ago we farewelled a guest by the name of Ramadan, and alhamdulillah we had the opportunity to earn much reward and to increase our levels of iman and our taqwa. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal, when he spoke about Ramadan, he said لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that one of the main objectives of fasting Ramadan is to gain taqwa, is to increase our iman. And it's very important for this iman to remain with us, and the momentum of the iman to remain with us throughout the year, and not only during the month of Ramadan or during special religious events or occasions. Now, we find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Salaf al-Salih, they would make dua for 6 months after Ramadan that Allah accepts their good deeds that they performed in Ramadan, whether it's Siyam or Qiyam or Quran, recitation, dua. So it's very important that we also follow in their footsteps. Now, some people might be asking, what are the signs that Allah Azza wa Jal has accepted my fasting and that Ramadan was very beneficial for me and that I gained a lot out of Ramadan? Well, one of the signs is if you find yourself better than what you were prior to Ramadan, if you find yourself engaging more in doing regular acts of worship and different acts of worship, that's a good sign. That's a good sign of how Ramadan affected you and had a positive impact on you, inshallah ta'ala. It's very important to remain steadfast throughout our lives, despite the problems that we face in our lives. Allah Azza wa Jal, He tests us and He puts us through many trials and many tribulations. That is no reason whatsoever to forget about Allah Azza wa Jal. So we need to remain firm and we need to remain steadfast no matter what is happening in our lives. We don't put Islam to the side and we say, well, things are not really working out for me these days. When things start to work out for me, then I will get back on track with my religion. That's not the attitude that a Muslim should have. And we have, you know, many examples of our pious predecessors who were going through, you know, calamities and trials and hardships, but that did not make them shy away from their faith and their commitment to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached, and the one who approached him said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا بَعْدَكَ. He said, tell me something about Islam, a statement, a qawl, that I cannot ask anybody about after you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say, I believe in Allah. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, say, I believe, then remain steadfast. Have istiqama, or remain upright. So, iman and istiqama. Iman is an action of the heart. And istiqama, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, would be the actions themselves that will water your iman, that will nurture your iman, that will boost your iman. So just like, for example, if we had food in front of us and drink in front of us, it is of no benefit to us if we don't eat it, if we don't drink it. When we eat it and when we drink it, that is when we gain the benefit. And the same applies to the teachings of Islam. The teachings of Islam will only be of benefit to us when we implement them, when we read and we implement. So iman and actions, they work hand in hand. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we were very fortunate to be fasting the month of Ramadan, whilst many others were not so fortunate. So what can we do post Ramadan to ensure that our iman remains high? Now, before we talk about the iman workouts, okay, the iman workouts and the iman boosters, let's talk about iman itself. Iman itself. Now, the word for iman is your faith, but it is actually a little bit more than that. Now, iman is not something that we merely yearn for without action, or something that we gain through superficial acts, you know, such as some people, they wear a chain that says Allah, or that says Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they have, you know, a something hung up in their car, like the Quran, little Quran, or on their walls they have Quran. Okay, that's not what makes you a stronger Muslim. It's not about these superficial things, okay, that we find around us. It's not about iman. It's not about, you know, a particular look. Yes, certainly part of and parcel of being a Muslim is to adhere to the dress code that Islam has set, and that's part of your faith. But when some people, they, you know, it's just have just this outer appearance of a Muslim, but the inside is all hollow, that's not what's required of us. So as the saying goes, al imanu laysa bittamanni wala bittahalli, that iman is not something that you just simply yearn for, or that you just adorn yourself on the outside with. Laysa al imanu bittamanni wala bittahalli. And then he says, الإيمان ما وقر في القلب وصدقه العمل. Iman is what settles in the heart and is proved, and is proved or reinforced with actions, with actions, عمل. And as the ulama have said, الإيمان, defining iman, they said, الإيمان قول باللسان. It is قول, it is words. قول, يعني when you say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, when you read in the Quran, الإيمان قول باللسان وتصديق بالجنان, and it is proved with your limbs doing acts of worship, وعمل بالجوارح والأركان. So it's about words and it's about actions. So iman is words, belief, actions, and the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the methodology of those who adhere to the Sunnah, we believe, our belief and our creed is that iman increases with good deeds and it decreases with bad deeds. The more good deeds that you do, the higher your iman, the more your faith increases and you become happier and you become more successful. So iman increases with good actions and decreases through sins and by transgressing the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. Now, the state and the condition of your iman is different depending on what you are doing. So if you're engaging in good deeds, your iman is going to be flourishing and blossoming. If you're engaging in bad deeds, then your iman is dull. And it's being, it's having an effect on your heart. Now, there is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith that is found in the collection of Tabarani and Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innal imana," that indeed iman, "innal imana la yakhlaqu fi jawfi ahadikum," that he said, it wears out. It wears out. It fades. Iman fades. لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ. Just as it wears out in the heart, it wears out in the heart of any one of you, just as clothes wear out or fade. You know how clothes over time fades and it wears out. Your iman also fades and it wears out. So he said, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal to renew the iman in your heart. Tajdeed. Always ask Allah Azza wa Jal to renew this faith, to renew this iman. So our iman, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is in constant need of a renewal, of tajdeed. Now, also we learn in the hadith, or from the hadith, we learn that iman has a taste. Iman has taste. And in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ, that he has tasted iman. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, the one who accepts that Allah Azza wa Jal, only Allah Azza wa Jal, as his Lord, as his Rabb. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ, and Islam as his faith. Islam as his deen, as his way of life. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا, and that Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his prophet and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. By accepting and believing in only one deity that is worthy of worship, Allah Azza wa Jal, and accepting Islam as your faith, and accepting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the seal of the prophets and messengers, and taking him on as your prophet and messenger, you will taste that iman. You will taste that iman. Not only does it have a taste, but in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refers to iman as having what? As having sweetness. As having sweetness. Halawa. Halawatul iman. And in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Bukhari and found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Thalathun. Man kunna fihi wajada bihinna halawatul iman. If you have these three traits, these three elements within you, then you would have tasted, or you will taste, the sweetness of faith, the sweetness of iman. An yakun Allah wa rasulahu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma, that you love Allah Azza wa Jal and his messenger more than anything else. You love Allah Azza wa Jal and his messenger more than anything else. What does it mean to love Allah Azza wa Jal and his messenger more than anything else? That you implement the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal that are found in the Quran. That you implement the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are found in the Sunnah, that are found in the books of Hadith, Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Mutta Imam Malik and Muslim Imam Ahmad and Mustadrak and all these other books of Hadith. Hadith that of course are authentic and sahih. Because not all the collections of hadith, as you know, are sahih or are authentic. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. The second trait is that you love a person only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That you love others for the sake of Allah. So, loving Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than anything else. Loving a person for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not because you want to gain any sort of material gain from that person. وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ, and to hate it in with all of your heart and soul, to turn to kufr, to turn to disbelief, to become a disbeliever, just as you hate to be thrown into the fire. Having that hatred. If you can have these three traits within you, then you have tasted halawatul iman. Now, so we said that iman has a taste. Iman has sweetness, halawa. Iman also has nur, light. Iman is nur, it is light. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما من القلوب قلب إلا وله سحابة. He said, there is no heart, no qalb, except that it has a sahaba. A sahaba is a cloud. A cloud. كسحابة القمر. Like a cloud that appears in front of the moon, or that blocks out the moon. We know the radiance of the moon. Now imagine a cloud, a little cloud that comes past. What would it do? It will actually conceal some of the light of the moon. But the more clouds there are, the light goes away. So the cloud here, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about, is the cloud of sin. And the more sins that you accumulate, the bigger the cloud, the nur is then switched off from your heart. That iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about this. He said, "Ma min al-qulub qalbun illa walahu sahabatun ka sahabatil qamar, like the cloud of the moon. Baynama al-qamar yudhi idh 'alathu sahabatun fa adlam." So while the moon is radiating with light, is giving out light, then a cloud appears. So, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, Iman has a reality. Iman has a taste. It has sweetness and it has light. And subhanAllah, we find that it is this Iman that penetrated the hearts of the Sahaba, of the companions, permeating their souls, that allowed them to conquer many parts of the world and be successful. So we are talking about individuals who were shepherds, who were not known for any great achievements. Many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they never had great achievements. But through their iman and through their taqwa, their reverence of Allah Azza wa Jal, this iman and this taqwa, it transformed them into the people that we know today and who are loved by Allah Azza wa Jal, loved by the angels and loved by the people. We have people like Abu Bakr and like Umar and like Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhum, Khadija radiallahu anha. So, because they had that iman. So iman is very, very important, that we keep on watering iman, that we keep on performing these iman workouts and detoxifying our spirit through the exercises of iman. Now, I want to mention a scenario or a scene from the time of after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have Rub'i ibn Amir. Rub'i ibn Amir. He was a short person. He had a very thin build. Very strong in his iman. Very firm. Very humble clothing. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he sent a delegation to the commander of the Persian forces, whose name is Rustum. His name is Rustum. And Rustum had actually requested to speak to one of the Muslims to negotiate, see if there's any room for negotiation. So Rub'i ibn Amir, he marches in with the pride of Iman and with a spear in his hand. And Rustum says to Rub'i, he says to him, "What do you want from us? You want wealth? You want clothing? We would, you know, make you very rich and happy. Look around you." And around him were all these riches and all of this wealth. And, you know, lush carpets and fine curtains and gold embroidered walls and silk carpets. He said, "Don't you have any desire that we should bestow some of these riches upon you?" So Rustum is trying to impress and trying to lure Rub'i. Rub'i ibn Amir with worldly riches. With worldly riches. And then Rustum turns to Rub'i and he says to him, Man antum? Who are you? What are you people all about? So Rub'i, he looked and he listened and he was unmoved by the offer. Didn't care at all about the offer that Rustum is offering him. This is all material. This is all going away. It's all fleeting. It's passing away. So then, subhanAllah, Rub'i ibn Amir, may Allah Azza wa Jal be pleased with him, he said some words that wallahi we should memorize and that should be written in gold. Because really, his words summarize what we are all about as Muslims. What the teachings of Islam are out to achieve. And he says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ إِبْتَعَثَنَا اللَّهُ لِنُخْرِجَ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إلى عبادة الله وحده ومن ضيق الدنيا إلى سعتها ومن جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام. He said, we are a people, نحن قوم, Allah Azza wa Jal has commissioned us, لنخرج من شاء, to bring out whoever desires, without force, لنخرج من شاء, whoever wants, to bring them out from ibadat al-ibad, from the worship of the worship, from the worship of people, worshipping people, to bring people out from worshipping people, min ibadat al-ibad ila ibadati rabbi al-ibad, to the worship of the one who created the ibad, who created the creation. Wa min dhiq ad-dunya, and from the narrow confines of preoccupation with this world, وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سَعَتِهَا, to its boundless expanse. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سَعَتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, in another narration. From the confinements of this dunya to the boundless expanse of this life and the hereafter and the next life. وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ, and from the oppression and the tyranny, and to bring people out from oppression and tyranny of the different systems that are out there to the justice of Islam. Islam is a religion, it is a way of life, it is a deen of justice, of fairness. So, very beautifully said. And then he said, whoever accepts that from us, we are prepared to welcome him. And whoever forgets us, whoever fights us, we will fight him until the promise of Allah comes to pass. So then Rustum says, and what is the promise of Allah to you? What is this promise that you are speaking of? And Rub'i says, paradise, Jannah for our martyrs, Jannah for our shuhada, Jannah for our martyrs, and victory, and nasr, and victory for those who live. That is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it was this sort of iman that we read about in the likes of Rub'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu wa arda, that gave rise to Islam for centuries. For centuries. And Allah Azza wa Jal has promised, Allah Azza wa Jal has promised this ummah, has promised this nation izzah, honor and might. He has promised it tamkeen, he has promised it power, he has promised it nusra, he has promised it victory, and he has promised it istikhlaf, which means leadership. And Allah Azza wa Jal promised all of this to the believers. And so we read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is the haqq of Allah. It is the right upon us, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, to give victory to the mu'mineen. The believers will be granted victory. But it's not going to happen just like that. It's not just going to happen overnight. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants to test the true believers from the hypocrites, from those who are not yani true to their iman and to their faith. So let's not be hasty and say, where is the Nasr of Allah Azza wa Jal? Yes, have no doubt whatsoever that the Nasr of Allah Azza wa Jal is coming and is approaching. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And to Allah belongs all the honor, and to His Messenger, and to the believers, all the honor belongs to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Allah Azza wa Jal has promised those who believed, those who believed, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and who did righteous deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And He said that He will surely grant them succession to authority upon the earth. So iman, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, is essential for all of our success. And look at how many people out there, unfortunately, who claim that they are Muslims, yet they don't pray. They are involved in so many serious and grave sins, major sins. And so Allah Azza wa Jal does not change the state of a people until they change themselves first. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لا يغير الله ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah does not change the state of a people until they change themselves first, until they reform themselves. That's when the Nasr of Allah Azza wa Jal will come. That's when we'll start to see change. So there needs to be a change, inshallah ta'ala. So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, today inshallah ta'ala, we're talking about iman boosters, and things that Muslims should not neglect throughout their lives. Let's begin. First of all, Ramadan has come to an end, but fasting has not come to an end. But before we talk about fasting, I want to remind you that we should not neglect our obligatory actions, that they are the most beloved acts to Allah Azza wa Jal. There is nothing more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal than the obligatory duties that He has commanded us to fulfill. Nothing. Do not allow for shaitan, for the devil, to fool you or deceive you in doing this or doing that at the expense of fulfilling your obligations to Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't neglect your obligatory duties. Because in the hadith that is found in Sahih Bukhari, and it is a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَطْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That my abd, my slave, or my servant draws يعني near to me with nothing more beloved to me than that which I have enjoined upon him. There is nothing more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal than those actions which have been enjoined upon us. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And he said, my abd, my slave, continues to draw nearer to me through the nawafil, through the sunnah acts, the optional deeds, and this is the way to draw nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah will love you when you perform your obligatory duties. But then, if you want to continue to draw closer and nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal, then do the sunnah deeds, the sunnah actions. So now, let's talk about some of the things that we should really put on our priority list of that will draw us nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that will keep our momentum, that will keep the momentum that we had in Ramadan, inshallah. Number one is fasting. So we said that Ramadan has come to an end, but fasting has not come to an end. And fasting is very, very beneficial. especially for the younger people. The young ones who have a lot of energy, and especially, you know, going through, you know, their hormonal stage. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed the shabab, the youth, and he said, "Ya ma'shar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falitazawwaj, fa innahu aghaddu lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-farj, wa man lam yastati' fa alayhi bis-sawm fa innahu lahu wija'." The Prophet said, "Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O youth, whoever can afford to get married should get married, for it helps lower the gaze and it safeguards your chastity. And if you are unable to get married, if you don't have the physical needs, if you don't have the financial means, or you are unable to give your spouse their rights, then," he said, "fast. فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ." It's a protection. Siyam is a shield for you. It shields you from many sins. So if you're finding yourself falling into much sin, or about to fall into sin, then the prophetic recipe, the prophetic medicine is Siyam. And the Siyam has many benefits. In the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "La yasumu 'abdun yawman fi sabilillah." That whoever fasts, any person who fasts one day for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, illa ba'adallahu bidhalika al-yawm wajhahu 'anil nar 70 kharifa, except that Allah azza wa jal distances his face from the fire a period of 70 years. 70 years distance from the fire. And so it's recommended to fast as much as you can. Fasting the 6 days of Shawwal, the month we are in right now, the month that succeeds the month of Ramadan, the 10th month of the lunar calendar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, he said, "Man sama Ramadan thumma atba'ahu sittan min Shawwal kana ka siyam ad-dahr." That whoever fasted Ramadan then follows it up in fasting, meaning follows it up fasting 6 days of Shawwal, it would be as if he fasted the entire year. So how does that work? Because every day that you fast in Ramadan is equivalent to 10 days of fasting. Because al-hasana bi-ashra, one good deed that you do, the minimum reward is 10. So if we multiply 30 days of fasting Ramadan by 10, that's 300. And the 6 days of Shawwal, multiply them by 10, that's 60. 360 days of fasting. Imagine now you do this every year of your life. It's as if you have fasted your entire life. And that's what the word dahr means, like a lifetime. So it's recommended. It's not compulsory to fast any 6 days of Shawwal. And they don't have to be consecutive. They don't have to be in a row. There can be any 6 days. The ulama have also stipulated a condition, and that is that you fast the days that you missed in Ramadan first. That you fast the days you've missed that were due to either illness, or you were traveling, or a woman having her monthlies. So fasting the days first, then fasting the 6 days of Shawwal. And that seems to be the stronger opinion, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever fasted Ramadan then follows it up with 6 days. So if you fast the 6 days without making up your days, you haven't fasted Ramadan. You have still some days of Ramadan. Some scholars also said you can combine your intention, that you can have the intention of your makeup days and the 6 days of Shawwal, so two in one. But there's no logic in that. Because how is it that some Muslims are fasting 36 days while other Muslims only end up fasting 30? And where is the words of the hadith then follows it up with 6 days? So to be on the safe side, fast the days first, then fast the 6 days. However, if you have too many days to make up, then fast the 6 days of Shawwal and then make up the days after Shawwal. Because in Islam, when things become very difficult, there becomes some relaxation or some ease comes about. Al-amru idha daqat tasa. Al-ulama, they say, when things become very confined and very difficult, there is room for some flexibility. Inshallah ta'ala. So another day to that's recommended to fast, of course, is the day of Arafah, which is the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, the last month of the lunar calendar. The 9th day, the day of Arafah. For those who are not performing Hajj. In the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that by fasting this day, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهُ, that it wipes away the sins of the previous year and the following year, or the year after it. So, also another day to fast is the 10th day of Muharram, which is the first calendar month. Muharram, fasting the 10th day. And this is not known as Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, he said that whoever fasts this day, he said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ, that he said that inshallah this will wipe away the sins of the previous year. And this is the day that Allah Azza wa Jal, he saved Prophet Moses alayhi salam from Fir'aun, and Fir'aun drowned. And so we find that even the Jews venerate this day. Even the Jews would fast this day in commemoration of the Savior of Musa alayhi salam. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Medina, and he asked about this day that they were fasting, because there were Jews in Medina, they said this is the day he said Allah saved Musa. So he said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ, like we have more right to Musa than you do. So he commanded for the Muslims to fast. And actually that day, that Ashura was the first compulsory fast before Ramadan. And then when Ramadan came, Ramadan then replaced the compulsory fasting of Ashura. Another recommended time to fast is every Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays. And we find in Sunan Abi Dawood and An-Nasa'i, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about these days and fasting them, he said, وَأُحِبُّ أَن يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٍ, that these are the days that the actions are disclosed to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he said, I like for my actions to be disclosed to Allah Azza wa Jal while I'm in a state of fasting, so that he is in a state of ibadah. Of course, another time to fast is the 3 days of every month, the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every lunar month. These are known as Ayyamul Bidh, or the white days. Now some people, they refer to the 6 days of Shawwal as Ayyamul Bidh, but that's incorrect. Because the reason why the 13th and the 14th and 15th are known as the white days is because these are the days in which the moon is a full moon, and it brightens up the sky with its whiteness. So they called them the white days. And in the hadith found in Bukhari, hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he says, أوصاني خليلي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that my dear friend, my Khalil, my dear friend, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recommended or advised me to do 3 things. صِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهَرٍ, that I fast 3 days from every month. وَرَكْعَتَيْ الضُّحَى, that I pray 2 rak'at of duha. Duha is a period between after sunrise all the way to dhuhr prayer, to midday. And وَأَنْ أَوْتِرَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَنَامُ, and to perform witr. Witr is that odd prayer that in an odd number before going to sleep. And so, fasting 3 days of every month, again, by doing so every month of the year, it's as if you have fasted the entire year, because every one day is equal to 10, and that's 30, and you multiply that by every month, that's the whole year, inshallah ta'ala. Also, from amongst the sunnah days, or the sunnah days to fast, the most of the month of Sha'ban. Most of the month of Sha'ban, and Sha'ban is the month that precedes the month of Ramadan. In the hadith of Aisha found in Sahih Bukhari, she said, I did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast an entire month apart from Ramadan. And I did not see him fast more so than in Sha'ban. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast much in the month of Sha'ban. And also some people, they single out the 15th of Sha'ban for various acts of worship. And all of these reports are weak reports and have no basis in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course the best type of fasting is the fasting of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And we read in Sahih Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that أَحَبُّ الصَّوْمِ إِلَى اللَّهِ صِيَامُ دَاوُودِ, that the most beloved siyam to Allah Azza wa Jal is the fasting of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. He used to fast every alternate day. So one day fast, one day he would break his fast. One day he would fast, and one day he would break his fast. So this is with regards to fasting. And remember, regarding fasting optional days, or days that are not compulsory, or makeup days, you don't have to have the intention at or before Fajr time. You don't have to have the intention. So you can simply wake up at even if you wake up after Fajr any time, even if you wake up late and you've slept in and then you intend on fasting, you can simply fast even though you never had the intention the night before. Unlike fasting Ramadan, whereby you need to have the intention before Fajr for your Siyam of Ramadan to be accepted. Now, during Ramadan, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, we saw many people reciting the Qur'an and finishing the Qur'an and completing the Qur'an and being very intimate with the Qur'an, very close with the Qur'an and connected with the Qur'an. And unfortunately, many people now put away the Qur'an after Ramadan and it collects dust, and then come next Ramadan they wipe away the dust and then start again. Wallahi, this Qur'an wasn't revealed for Ramadan, exclusive for Ramadan. It was revealed in Ramadan, but it was revealed for every day of our life. And wallahi, the Qur'an, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, it's like a compass. You know, imagine a ship without a compass. Where would it go? Would it go very far? It wouldn't. It needs a compass. Likewise, the Qur'an is our compass as human beings. It gives us direction. It gives us guidance. And wallahi, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, the Qur'an that is printed on the heart is better than the Qur'an that is printed on the paper. Because that's why we want the Qur'an. We want the Qur'an to leave a mark on our hearts and our spirits and our souls. We need to... One of the iman boosters is to recite Qur'an throughout every day. Reciting Qur'an every day is an iman booster. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Qur'an, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we bring down, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, we bring down of the Qur'an that which is shifa. It is a cure, shifa. It is a remedy, and it is a mercy for the believers, for those who believe in it. So the condition is that you believe that it is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, that this Qur'an, it directs and it guides to that which is most upright. Wallahi, it's a book of guidance. It's a book of healing. And in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, اقرأوا القرآن, recite the Qur'an, read the Qur'an, فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ On the day of judgment, the Qur'an will come as a shafi', as an intercessor for the one who would recite it. It will intercede for you. It will say, Ya Allah, save him. Ya Allah, enter him Jannah. So if you want the Qur'an to be your intercessor, then make sure that you are well acquainted with the Qur'an, that you will have a very close connection with the Qur'an. And so don't abandon the Qur'an. Don't be from amongst those who have abandoned the Qur'an. And wallah, there's a verse in the Qur'an that talks about this abandonment, that talks about this hujran of the Qur'an. And the verse is وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا Oh my Lord, oh my Rabb, my people have abandoned or have taken this Qur'an and abandoned it. مهجورا. And the ulama, when they were giving a commentary on this abandonment, they said, you abandon the Qur'an by way of not believing in it. You abandon the Qur'an by not reciting and listening to it. You abandon the Qur'an by not applying it as medicine. You know, Fatiha, for example, you can use it as a ruqya. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ You recite it over yourself when you were ill and over others, ruqya. You have abandoned the Qur'an by not using it as law. Law in Muslim countries, you know, using the Qur'an as legislation. So there are many ways that people abandon the Qur'an. And you have abandoned the Qur'an if you don't make an effort to understand it. You have abandoned the Qur'an if you do not implement the teachings of the Qur'an. So there's many ways of abandoning the Qur'an. And one of the ways of abandoning the Qur'an is by not reciting the Qur'an, by not reading the Qur'an. Very, very important, inshallah ta'ala, post-Ramadan. And of course, after Ramadan, another workout, another iman booster is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when you remember Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah remembers you. When you are constantly remembering Him with your words, not just remembering in your mind, in your heart, in your brain, but remembering by articulating words of remembrance. So we have, for example, one of the Sahaba, he said, I know when Allah remembers me. And they asked him, how do you know? How do you know Allah is remembering you? He said, Allah in the Quran says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Remember me and I will remember you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ And in the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي the likeness of the one, الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ the one who remembers his Lord. His Rabb. وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ And the one who does not remember his Lord through words of remembrance. كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ It's like the example of the living and the dead. One person is living and one person is dead. There's a world of difference between the two. And that's what we need to do. We need to moisten our tongues with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether we say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Whether it's the remembrance after each salah, you know, reciting Ayatul Kursi, reciting the three quls, Qul huwallahu ahad, and Al-Falaq, and An-Nas, and the three quls being recited three times each. After the Fajr and after the Maghrib Salat or after Asr Salat for the evening times. Also, for example, before you go to sleep, the Adhkar before going to sleep, the Adhkar of the morning and the evening that fortify you and protect you from evil that is out there. So, the one, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the one who remembers Allah is alive, even if his limbs were shackled. If you're remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, even if your whole body is tied up and chained up, you'll find yourself alive. And the one who doesn't remember Allah Azza wa Jal is dead even though he roams between the living. He's walking about, but really he's not remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's like a dead person. So, don't become heedless towards remembering the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Creator of every living cell in your body, Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't forget about Allah Azza wa Jalla, so He doesn't forget about you. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَصُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah, so Allah made them forget about their own selves. نَصُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, they forgot about Allah, so He forgot about them. He left them to their own, to deal with themselves, by themselves. And we have many hadith that talk about this. So these words of remembrance, they're like vitamins for our soul. You know, some people, they take a multivitamin every morning and every evening, and they take different types of pills to keep them happy and to make their whole body, their physical body, function very well. And likewise, we must not be neglecting our spiritual body, our spiritual being. Also, from amongst the iman boosters, of course, is to pray the prayers at the masjid, to pray in jama'ah during Ramadan. Many Muslims, they pray in the masjid most of their prayers, and after Ramadan, that's it. It's as if, subhanAllah, we have people who worship Allah Azza wa Jal in Ramadan, and it's as if, khalas, after Ramadan, Allah only exists in Ramadan. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Maintain the prayers and the middle prayer. وَقُومُوا. Here the verb قُومُوا is addressing all of you, stand before Allah devoutedly. So doing so collectively in jama'ah. So there is much reward in attending the jama'ah prayer, receiving some 27 times more rewards, and one narration 25, one narration 27 times more reward for every footstep that you take towards the masjid is rewarded. Okay, and of course, from amongst the iman boosters is to give sadaqah. Sadaqah is very, very important, my dear brothers and dear sisters in Islam. Especially today, we have many people around the Muslim world that are poverty, that are going through much poverty and hardship and struggles. So always give sadaqah. Always give sadaqah. Yes, in Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ was very generous. In Ramadan, more so than any other month, but we shouldn't stop giving sadaqah outside of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And sadaqah, as you know, it's a proof of your iman. It's a primum, it's sidq. Sidq means proof. Sadaqah comes from evidence, sidq. Right? It's a truthfulness of your iman and your love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Shaitan, Satan, he promises you poverty. That's why he's whispering to you, don't give, don't spend. He's because you that's what, and if you really follow what the shaitan is commanding and enjoining, then he's really commanding you to be poor. You're going to really end up like a poor Muslim. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. And he enjoys lewdness, but Allah Azza wa Jal يَعِدُكُمْ. He promises you maghfirah, forgiveness, and bounty from him. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you will not attain birr, you will not attain piety until you start to spend from that which you love. That's when you are gaining the piety, inshallah ta'ala. When you give from that which you love. And on the day of, and in the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَسَيُكَلِّمُهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. There is not one of you except Allah Azza wa Jal will speak to you on the day of judgment. ليس بينه وبينه ترجمان. You have no translator between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. No ترجمان, no translator, no interpreter. فينظر العبد أيمن منه. So that you, a person, the servant, will look to the right. فلا يرى إلا ما قدم. And he only see that which he has put forward in terms of deeds. وينظر العبد أشأم منه. And he will turn to his left. فلا يرى إلا ما قدم. He will only see what he has put forward. وينظر إلى ما بين يديه. And he will look to what is in front of him. فلا يرى إلا النار. And he will see in front of him the hellfire. He will see in front of him the hellfire. تلقاء وجهه. Right in front of his face. فاتقوا النار ولو بشق تمر. So Prophet ﷺ, he said, fear the hellfire even if you have to give a part of a date, half a date, a portion of a date in sadaqah, and it's something insignificant, something measly, giving that, fear Allah, even if you just have to give that. So after Ramadan, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, let's spend from the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. And from amongst the iman boosters, of course, is to continue to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. To always ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you. Always. This is the characteristic of a believer, of a mu'min. You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded us to perform tawbah, He said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. He said, repent to Allah, all of you, O believers. He didn't say, أَيُّهَا الْعَاصُونَ or أَيُّهَا الْمُذْنِبُونَ, O you who are disobedient. No. Because the characteristic of a believer is that he always turns to Allah in repentance. It's not something only that the disobedient one should be performing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive him at least, in one narration, 70 times a day. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, he addressed the people, O people, tubu ila Allah, tubu, turn to repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal, fastaghfiru, and ask Him for forgiveness, fa inni astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayhi fil yawmi mi'ata marra. He said, I ask for forgiveness and I turn to repentance. I turn in repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal 100 times a day. 100 times a day. That's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how many times should we be turning to repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal? At least 1,000 times. If he's doing it 100 times, he's doing it 1,000 times. So also, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, Qiyamul Layl, in Ramadan we had Taraweeh. We had night prayers. We had Tahajjud. But this is something that's not limited to Ramadan. Ramadan gave us the workouts and prepared us and gave us the foundation for that, so that after Ramadan we can continue to fast, continue with our Taraweeh or our night prayers, continue to do Quran recitation, continue to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Qiyamul Layl is very, very meritorious and very virtuous. Also dua, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in Ramadan we perform lots of dua, and dua is the weapon of the believer. The believer, one of the weapons that he has is dua. And don't be hasty. Don't say, yeah, but I ask and I ask and I ask, but nothing's happening. It might not be happening right now, or maybe something is happening and you can't see it. So continue to make dua. And yes, we listen to the imam making dua almost every night during Ramadan. But you have to remember as well, dua is not limited to Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. That when you perform dua, dua is in and of itself, it's ibadah. It's ibadah. It's an act of worship. Especially during the times that dua is accepted, between adhan and between iqama, the third part of the night. When you, before you say, As-salamu alaykum in your salat. These are mawatin, these are places where dua is highly acceptable and very effective. Dua to Allah Azza wa Jal in your sujood. Jumu'ah on the day of Friday, before, as the sun is setting, just before Maghrib time. These are the best times to make dua. Turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And of course, from amongst the best ways to increase your iman and to boost your iman and to give your iman a workout is to seek knowledge, is to learn about your deen. Expand your knowledge about this beautiful deen of Islam and its teachings. And today we find that the major factors which are the root of all evil are two things. Two things which are the root of all evil. Number one is ignorance, al-jahl. Having al-jahl, which is ignorance, not having knowledge. And we find today that there are many people out there, okay? The reason why they are successful is because of education. It's because of knowledge. And if we also want to be successful, we need to make sure we also have knowledge. Both Islamic and secular knowledge, both of them are very important to enrich our Muslim communities. And of course, the second factor which contributes to evil is people following their desires. Following their desires and not curbing and curtailing and controlling their desires. So it's very important to control our desires. And so these are just a few reminders regarding after Ramadan and things to keep mindful of, so that Allah Azza wa Jal can bless us in this life and to bless us more importantly in the hereafter. And I leave you with this verse whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat in verses 30 and 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, those who say Allah is our Rabb, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, those who say it with their tongues and believe it in their hearts, رَبُّنَا, our Rabb is Allah Azza wa Jal, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then and remained on the straight path, doing those actions that we said, doing the actions that helped them remain on the straight path. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels will descend upon them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, at the time of death, they will descend and they will say to you, fear not. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا, have no fear and have no grief. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and receive the glad tidings of Jannah. They give those people who have iman and steadfastness, they give them a bushra, a glad tiding of Jannah. Allati kuntum tu'adun, nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah, we are your allies in this worldly life and in the hereafter. Wa lakum fiha ma tashtahi anfusakum, and you will have in Jannah whatever your heart desires, whatever your soul desires. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, and you will have in it whatever you request. نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ, an accommodation from a Lord who is forgiving and who is merciful. So remember this ayah. Remember that this is what will happen eventually. Yes, we'll work hard right now and there will be hardships and there will be challenges and there will be obstacles. But that is the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal in this life. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our deed in Ramadan and to give us steadfastness after Ramadan. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.